Welcome to episode 161 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, as well as the first ever Ganza 3 Expo. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And this week we'll be cherry picking a few tidbits from the gaming world on the heels of E3. But first we'll pick a fine selection of highlights from this week's past with our weekly update. And Cam, why don't you go first, man? What have you been up to?
Let's see, I had family in town, so I didn't do too many geeky things. It was a lot of, just family stuff, going out to dinner, hanging out, that kind of thing. So that was cool, but I did get some pretty cool stuff in the mail. I traded away a copy of my Dead of Winter board game and ordered PS Plus for our Final Fantasy endeavor. So I got my PS Plus year subscription card in the mail. I got it for a great deal, actually $40 for the whole year. So that was pretty good. I ordered, but I have not received yet, a Sony soundbar for my new, TV and PlayStation. So I will be completely ready to sit down in front of the TV, in full surround sound and full 4K glory, when we take on, Final Fantasy.
By the time we do, you know, the second expansion will be out.
Yeah, and all of my technology will probably be obsolete at that point.
PC no, but, Master Race, man. PC Master Race.
Yep, so that was about it in terms of the geeky stuff. Oh, I went and saw Jurassic World, of course, which was pretty good, I thought. And I saw Mad Max as well, but I have to say I was disappointed. Maybe because it was so hyped up by a lot of people that had seen it and told me about it, but I was a little bit disappointed with Mad Max. But I thought Jurassic World hit the mark. I mean, I didn't think it was, you know, an Oscar-worthy film, but I think they did the franchise pretty proud.
Cool. Now, sorry you were disappointed in Mad Max. It didn't hit all the hot button political stuff with you.
I don't know. I just didn't like it as a movie. I love all the actors that were in it. I love the original Mad Max. I mean, I love everything about the franchise. It just sort of fell flat for me.
We will dispatch some social justice warriors to correct your thinking.
Yeah, and that's all I did this weekend.
That sounds like a full week.
Or this week.
Okay. How about you, Chris? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been a couch potato. I'm starting in on Sense8 and Wayward Pines, and I also squeezed in the first episode of Dark Matter, which was a little cliche, but I think it's going to be a fun little mini series. And I'm just waiting for Killjoys to start up later this week. So sci-fi has my name right now.
Wayward Pines, the TV show or
yes.
The books?
No, the TV show.
Yeah, I started that show as well. It seems pretty good so far. I've only watched the first couple episodes. So.
All this viewing requires a cable package, or?
No. Oh. It requires dot internet.
Okay, all right.
I also have Hulu Plus. That doesn't hurt.
I do, too. So we can support sci-fi by supporting these shows, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're on it. Anything else besides vegetating on your couch?
Well, my usual stuff.
I got you. So more vegetation.
Yes. It's in front of the keyboard versus the TV.
Okay. Our more pedantic listeners will forgive me for using the term vegetation in reference to a potato. As we know, they are a root of some sort or something. Please do not send emails about that. Brian, over to you, regardless of what kind of plant you have been mimicking.
I've been playing Final Fantasy. I am well stocked for everything we could possibly need for the first 30 or 50 levels. God, I really hate to say it. As much as I object to Triple Triad being injected, it really soaks up a lot of my time.
I love it.
It's single player content. Like, I can, you know, raid for hours with a bunch of other people, or I can just log on for a few minutes and play a few quick games. I mean...
I love that they sucked you in with it.
So that's mostly it. I had, just last night, actually, an X-Wing tournament at the Adventure Game Store. That was kind of new and exciting.
How was that? So it's the organized play for X-Wing?
So there's League, which is like organized play, and then there's the tournaments, which is like rewarding and everything like that. And it was pretty exciting. And a lot of different list. I didn't expect to see quite so many because, of course, some people don't take it as competitively as others. So not everyone used like the cookie cutter, like three or four lists that are winning all over. I was kind of happy to see that. Some people actually played what they like.
An interesting discussion could be had as to how games scale out when it's revealed that three or four winning, our armies emerge. That kind of sucks. You got to wonder if the designers object to that.
Well, I mean, they can't really object to it too much. They design it that way.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was this unanticipated? I mean, I'm sure they do a lot of thorough playtesting, but now you get thousands and thousands of people playing, and sharing information. Do they sort of, beat the magic out of the game?
I don't think it's coincidence that all the really good cards come in really expensive ships.
Okay, all right, fair enough, and I think we have identified that non-coincidence in other games too. Crossmaster. Anything else, sir?
Nope.
All right, over to me. Very brief update. Still in Seattle, getting street passes, walking around. There's new street pass games for the 3DS that I haven't played yet. So when I get some free time, I'll reel in my latest batch of street passes and play those. The rabbit salesman sold me those. He popped out of a bunny hole and offered me these games, and I bought them. And I am in no way making any of that up. That is exactly how the transaction goes down on the Nintendo 3DS. You were sold mini games by a rabbit. Watch it to E3 coverage, which of course will be crucial in this week's episode. I also saw Jurassic World. I don't remember if I mentioned that or not last time. Time has totally blurred as I have switched coasts, but I enjoyed it. I thought they made a great Jurassic Park movie and gave me everything I was looking for. And I am still waiting for Amazon to sell me an Amazon Echo. I check my email constantly. I've got thousands of unread emails, but I'm checking it all the time now because I want to have this dumb gadget, which I was reminded does do some basic home integration stuff. So you can integrate it with certain devices in your house, like you can turn on lamps and different things. So I am going to have that Star Trek computer going sooner rather than later, I hope.
Sweet.
Yeah, thanks. And that's pretty much it for me. Just enjoying Seattle, enjoyed watching some E3 coverage, and I'm looking forward to getting into tonight's topic. But before we do we have any non-E3 news we want to discuss?
The one thing that I'm just happy about is that AT&T got hit with a $100 million fine.
Yes!
Which I'm so happy about, and because I'm one of those old-school AT&T
Me too.
People who has the, grandfathered in unlimited data.
Yep.
And, quote unquote unlimited data, which, is throttled at the end of every month. And they finally got slapped for doing that. So I'm hoping that my data will be wide open from now on, although I'm saying that very sarcastically because I really don't think it will be. But we'll see.
AT&T have said that they're not going to just take this lying down. They're going to fight. I mean, just because we say unlimited doesn't mean unlimited. It means unlimited subject to some arbitrary restrictions.
Yeah, unlimited means unlimited. Our definition of unlimited.
Right, right, right. Right.
So we'll see what happens there. But that was the only thing I wanted to bring up. Screw you, AT&T. Give me my unlimited data already. Been paying for it for fucking years,
Yeah, and how about some signal in most buildings while I'm at it?
Yeah, right.
Is that all, Cam, for news?
That's all I had.
All right, Chris, any other news for you?
Just a couple of little things, because Origins happened a little while ago, and it's good to see that a couple of board games that I'm looking forward to are coming out, and they're coming out mostly on time, hopefully. One will be Tiny Epic Galaxies, a Kickstarter that I think Cam backed, right?
Yep.
And then also Jarl, which is basically the Duke with a reskin for the Viking show, but it comes in plastic pieces. And there's going to be new pieces in there, but it is going to be cross-compatible with the Duke, which is a nice kind of two-player pseudo-chess game. The shtick is once you move a piece, you flip it over, and the other side shows you another set of moves. So every piece has two different set of moves, and it depends on when you flip them and how to utilize them. But you can also bring new pieces on board. So it's, not as deep as chess, but it has that kind of chess feel to it.
Cool. So it if I'm a non-chess player, is this going to appeal to me, or?
I think, yeah, it'll appeal to more people. The only complication is that each little tile you use for a piece has a little legend on it that tells you where the moves are. I haven't seen anybody feel overly intimidated by that, but I definitely think people can get that chess groove on without having to, like, know a bazillion different moves.
There's a lot more luck involved, too, because you can basically draw, like, a couple extra rooks or a couple extra queens if you get pretty lucky. So it's not necessarily, like, you get this and then you're done. I think some people like that, that might find chess intimidating.
Yeah, when Brian talks about queens and rooks, he's really just kind of paraphrasing. Because there are completely different moves of the game.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I may be able to talk as though I know something about chess if I play this. Just based on using terminology. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, okay. I think that brings it over to you, Brian. Any other news, sir?
Nothing, not E3.
Okay, all right. With the news now rounded up, I think we can get into E3, which is tonight's topic, E3. We were going to just kind of go, you know, light format here, guys. Whatever jumped out at us, I watched as much coverage as I could. I think you all did. And rather than exhaustively go through everything, we'll just pick out some highlights. Who wants to go first? Who wants to jump in first? I've got a bunch of stuff, but I don't want to be running my mouth the whole time. So who would like to jump in first with some E3 highlights?
I'm not sure I could pick a single favorite, so someone started off.
Nintendo Muppets.
Yes, that was a favorite element of the show, for sure.
I want one.
Me too, I want a game based on that somehow. That was cool.
When did you see that the Amiibos are going to be compatible with Skylanders now?
I'm glad. Oh, Cam, perfect. Yes. Oh, we're off to a great episode. Yes, not only did I totally get sucked in by the Nintendo puppets, but there are Skylanders. How does it work? You flip the base on them, kind of?
Yeah, I think some kind of, like, larger portal. I don't know. I've never really been to Amiibos or Skylanders, but I just saw the story and was like, wow. Like,
that's
probably going to be a runaway hit.
Oh, I suspect it will. And I think, basically, there's a switch on the figure to switch from Amiibo mode to Skylander mode. And I thought for sure there was going to be an adversarial relationship between Nintendo and the people who put out Skylanders, but they are getting in bed with them, which is probably a really wise move.
Yeah. I mean, why fight when you can get together and make, you know, twice, three times the money?
Yeah. 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 Now just do a crossover with Star Wars and you will have me down the path of collecting thousands of useless figures.
So, humor me, Skylander is with which company?
Who does make that?
Sony, right?
No, I think it's... Isn't it Hasbro or something? I don't know who makes Skylanders. They have, like, a Spyro the Dragon license. I know that, and that was a character that appeared on Sony back in the day. But I don't know who owns Skylanders. Maybe somebody could look that up.
Activision.
Okay. Oh, so in other words, the games industry owns Skylanders.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving Nintendo props because now they've got, you know, they're working with Skylanders, right? And they're now in Universal as a theme park.
Yeah, yeah.
They're definitely trying to reach those tentacles out everywhere, aren't they?
They are. And, I mean, Brian, in the past, I think you've been fairly critical of Nintendo and their sort of, like, tunnel vision. This is what we do. We don't change. Do you see these moves, you know, reaching out into theme parks, partnering up with people instead of, you know, being isolationist? Do you see these as positive moves for Nintendo?
Possibly positive for Nintendo. I'm not so sure positive for fans of Nintendo video games.
So they're going to put less emphasis on those, maybe?
Well, has any Amiibo improved your video gaming?
Yeah, kind of, marginally, because... Boy, I feel like I'm playing Nintendo fanboy here, but I will say it's kind of cool every day to be able to pop in 5 Amiibos into, like, Hyrule Warriors and have new items appear. So yeah, so far marginally. I wouldn't say it's blown my socks off, but it's they've been kind of cool. Are you viewing them as not really a compelling addition to games, though? I mean, because it's not going to change the nature of a game, no.
Well, my concern, as again, we've well established I'm an old school Nintendo fan, not necessarily in love with the Wiis and the Wii Us and everything, but it looks to me like they're diversifying because they ain't doing shit with video games. That's the one complaint I heard about their announcements this week. Not a lot of games.
Yeah, you're right. And I discussed this with Nick, one of our alums, if that's the proper word. And, you know, he's big into Nintendo, and we were both kind of bummed. Like, not a lot of games, and of the games discussed, most of them were 3DS. It's almost like they're quietly sliding the Wii U out the door, which is sad to me, because it seems like the Wii U is a little young to be ushered out the door already.
That's bad, I think, for Nintendo.
Yeah.
So this other stuff is neat. This other stuff is overall positive, but I don't want to pay that price for something to be positive. I don't want to lose the console side.
Right.
So I may be over-exaggerating, but in order to simplify it, it sounds like they're throwing in the towel on the video games right now and seeing what they can do with the IPs.
They're certainly giving themselves some room to maneuver, because the Wii U has not been a success, and at least not the type of success Nintendo's used to with products like the Wii and the 3DS. They have announced a new platform called the NX, I guess it's called, or MX. I think it's the NX, which they've been making sound a lot more like a platform than just a console. So raking in all that, you know, Skylanders and theme park money might give their R&D department a little room to spend some cash on this new platform. That's my thought. Cam, you're the person who knows the ins and outs of business. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that diversification is always good. I mean, look at Sony. Sony just doesn't make the PlayStation. I mean, Sony puts out movies. Sony does, Sony does a million different things. So I think as a business model, it's probably good for Nintendo to start branching out into other areas. So if they do have a colossal fuck up again, it's not the end of the world for them. I like the direction they're going in. I mean, they're making a lot of strategic partnerships with a lot of bigger companies. And that can only be a good thing for them, I think. If you want to play with the big boys, you gotta be in bed with the big boys, because, you know, we all know it's a small pond, and everyone is sort of working with everyone else. And I think they've made a lot of strides. I mean, you know, when we had the console wars episode, what, maybe 2-3 months ago, and we were talking about Nintendo. I mean, I think even since then, they've made huge strides, and I think maybe next year we might be talking about them on par with a Sony and a Microsoft in terms of, you know, where they're at in at least the gaming industry, if they keep doing this kind of stuff.
Nice. Now that is the type of optimistic appraisal I pay Cam for on a weekly basis.
Something I think is interesting, Tom, you said this, they're developing a platform, not necessarily a console.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, because if you read between the lines when they're speaking, they're saying that they're in. So right now they have like this weird disparate set of profiles between the 3DS and the Nintendo and the Wii U. Basically, though, they're saying that your Nintendo account is going to span their entire platform, mobile, etc. So that's what I'm reading into that.
I am reading into that it might span other hardware.
You know something? I mean, the fanboy nerd in me is like, no, I only want to play on Nintendo hardware. But if they could keep a loyal fan base of Wii or NX fans and rake in all that money from PlayStation and Xbox, it would be kind of foolish not to, wouldn't it?
I'm thinking, what would you call Netflix? You'd call that a platform.
Yeah. Or that is
more of a delivery system, wouldn't it be?
I guess depending on how you wanted to skin the definition cat, but it spans devices. We could say that, right?
For sure.
They might be preparing already for the smart television revolution, which kind of excites me.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled about the demise of the console, but I mean, I'm still not thrilled about digital media.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I still feel like I'm getting ripped off if I don't have a CD.
Right? It feels like you're renting, not owning.
Right, right, right. Wait, when you revoke my rights to this, you know, I'm screwed.
You don't talk to comic book fans about that.
Well, it seems like Sony is sort of on the vanguard of doing that. I mean, with their Gaikai technology, with their deal with Samsung to, you know, to be their exclusive streaming company for their games. They've already come out with this Amazon Fire streaming solution for games and stuff like that. I wonder what, I guess to use a term that we just used, platform, how Nintendo will start using that, you know, how they're going to get their game streaming to people. And for that matter, Microsoft as well. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know what they're going to do as well.
Nintendo might be further along than I suspected, at least.
Yeah.
It almost seems like you're leaving money on the table not to offer these, what I'll just call TV plugins. My, what's our official word? My companions. Brother lives up here, and we were at his house recently, and he had ordered a PS4 controller to use with his TV. I'm like, what? And it is to take advantage of that Sony streaming service, which is getting rolled out as we speak. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, that's great. You know, like, he's like, yeah, I'll take the plunge and buy a PlayStation if I need to, but if they're going to give me access to a lot of games I've never played, why wouldn't I sign up for it? And I don't know. It just seems like you've got the network infrastructure built up for this already. Why wouldn't you support as many? Why wouldn't you deliver your content, as you called it, Cam, which is correct, to as many devices as possible? Just because you've got a tradition of proprietary hardware, you know?
Right. And Nintendo has signaled this, I mean, over the past few months. I think a couple months ago I did in the new Stravaganza, I talked about them licensing their IP content to other developers and to other, you know, content distributors. So, and at that time, I think we were actually a little short-sighted in terms of thinking that it would maybe, I guess, dilute the quality, maybe, I think, you know, is what we were thinking, or that's what I was thinking at the time. But I think they were probably forward-thinking in terms of, well, you know, like you said, we need to get our content to as many people as we can across as many mediums as we can. And I think that is probably part of their strategy.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a, you know, on a business plan somewhere, there's a platform multiplier, you know, with the
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's figured into their decisions going forward. So interesting times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've learned anything from the consoles is that, I mean, content is king now, you know, and I think that's why PlayStation ultimately beat Microsoft is because of the access they gave to the indie game makers. And so now, I mean, I don't think it's going to matter at this point what the hardware is. I think what's going to matter is the license, basically who holds the license on the content and who's distributing that content. So if it's going to be under the banner of PlayStation or it's going to be under the banner of Xbox or whatever it is, it'll probably be across all different devices. But it's going to be who can strike that gold first, you know, find that gold and then get it to the masses first.
Yeah. So there's a rush to put the, mass delivery system in place first, and then the most effective delivery system is the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. I mean, did you guys see this Fallout 4, this little game that Fallout Bethesda put out?
Oh God, no, because I don't have a friggin' Apple device. No,
oh my God, it's
so annoying.
It's ape shit. I mean, it's making millions and millions and millions of dollars a day. It's ridiculous how fast it's blown up.
And then they couched it as, it's just something to have fun with. If you want to spend some money in it, fine, but no pressure. Like, that was their full-on delivery line.
Yeah, and it's going crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I saw some crazy statistic. It's already made more than, I don't even want to botch it, but it's like setting records on how much money it's making.
Do you know the details of it, Cam? Have you played it?
I've not played it. I know it's called Fallout Shelter.
Yeah.
I've not played it.
Basically, you in the Fallout, you've got these, or in the Fallout setting, you've got these vaults where people went to survive a nuclear holocaust, and this is all about managing one of those. So it's just a phone game where you're managing a vault.
I gotcha.
You have all your little people
it's
running around.
Basically, kind of a play on the, I can't remember the name of it, the high rise game. where you're like the manager of a high rise and you've got to manage all these people and their demands and everything else.
And you have like an ant farm view, Chris, like you're looking in from the side, basically. Yep.
So I guess Bethesda's crossing their fingers and hoping that not only will this Fallout shelter pay for itself, it may pay for Fallout 4 before it's even released.
So what I was saying, that I just found that what I was talking about, it's already in like a couple days has knocked out Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, wow.
It's already surpassed Candy Crush Saga. It's on the number 3 spot of Apple's top grossing games list of all time.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
So at a minimum, they're building up hype for Fallout 4.
Yeah, 229 million in like a few days.
Unbelievable. And
yeah.
If you watch the press release, or not the press release, if you watch the discussion where they talk about the game for the first time, mm-hmm. they're completely like downplaying that they're even trying to make money off of it.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, we just want to get Fallout out there to the fans.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But here, buy our in-game content for 99 cents. I think it's like little lunch boxes you have to buy or something like that.
Yeah. That's...
It's like 99 cents a lunchbox.
That's exactly it. And they're talking about it in such an aw shucks kind of way, like they didn't give a crap one way or another. it's almost like a snake in the grass move.
Exactly. Well, I mean, look, if it was a different franchise, I might be a little more up in arms, but I love Fallout, so whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm just Googling real quick. I think the budget for Fallout 4 was only $6 million.
Yeah, but that's like the actual game. I mean, this is just a little...
I know, that's what I'm saying. Little, and this, you know, little filler. This little thing is like going to pay for everything by the time the game's released.
How much money did you say it brought in already, Cam?
$229 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow. They basically just told the guys at the Fallout 4 dev team, your jobs are safe.
Yeah, it's making $2 million plus a day.
Holy cow. That's insane. And it's only going to generate more hype for the new game coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but now no matter how good that game does, it's not going to make $1 billion, and this will have made $1 billion by the end of the week.
Right. Well, which gets right back to Cam's point about content being out there. You know, to a purist like me, and I think to a lesser or maybe the same extent you guys, a phone game eclipsing a blockbuster console title? Never! Well, think again.
Yeah. It's crazy. And that will probably only spike and double, probably more than double, because they have announced it will come out for Android event, you know, soon. So once it hits Android, I'm sure, you know, those numbers are going to get even higher.
Oh, exponentially.
I mean, Apple's not even half the market anymore, is it?
Right? No, it's less, way less than half, I believe.
Jesus. Yeah,
Android's the majority now, so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you not know that, Chris?
Well, I just read a Penny Arcade, PvP online comic, where the characters are making their own mobile online game, and the punchline to one of the things was, oh, well, Apple's not approving our game. We'll release it Android only, and then they all have a good laugh, and they go, seriously, how are we going to get this on Apple?
Oh.
So I was under the impression, like, I was like, oh, so Apple's still king. Evidently, some people still think that.
Maybe they're the king of people willing to pay for stuff, and, you know, the Android market is a bunch of cheapos. I don't know.
I'm not really sure, like, a couple of comedians who can kind of draw are the best news source either, though.
That's a fair point.
Not going to argue with you on that one.
Oh, man. So, a very interesting discussion of the future of game content development. Got us perfectly into a discussion of Fallout 4, which, by the way, looks really, really cool. Like, I'm kind of psyched about that. I don't know about you guys.
Super psyched. I mean, even so much so that I've literally had my finger on the button for, like, the past 3 days for that Pip-Boy version of the game. I mean, I've been, like, just fighting with myself not to spend the money on it, but it's like, But what if I don't? And then it's always like, but what if I don't? And then it's worth $1 million. Or what if I don't? And then I can't ever get one. Oh, God, it's a struggle.
I took the plunge, man.
Did you? You ordered
yes,
it?
Yes.
Oh, you bastard. Now I'm going to have to.
I got it for PS4 too. And I'm kind of like, so don't be too jealous of me, Kev, because I got it for PS4, but now I'm like kind of hemming and hawing because there was another interesting announcement, which is that, at least for Bethesda games, mods are going to be playable on Xbox One, and the first game that's going to support that is Fallout 4. I don't know if that's going to happen on PlayStation or not. So now I'm kind of wondering if I made the right choice, or if I need to double down and spend double the obscene money on this gadget.
Embrace it. Mods, quote unquote, it's going to be really limited. You're not going to see the level of PC modding that you do on an Xbox.
Do you think that they're going to restrict them, or do you think that they're just like they won't run on? Oh. They won't run on the system because you can't add a bunch of like graphical enhancements, right?
I was reading about this the other day because I'm just so into Skyrim still, and what a huge modding community they have. They will do a lot of like cosmetic changes on Xbox, but they very, very, very likely won't be using anything that takes that needs a script extender, because the level of control is just too much. Like, you could do anything with that. Like, you would just no longer need their permission to release video games.
Okay.
So it's going to heavily limit it.
But some degree of mod consumption on a console is pretty big.
More than ever before, so.
Right, right. I don't know. that kind of makes me question my decision. But Cam, I'm going to apply all possible peer pressure to get you to get this stupid thing too.
I'm buying it right now.
Yes, nice. Welcome aboard.
So the next thing you need to get, Tom, is a blue set of coveralls.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
some gold striping, and you're all set for cosplay.
That is correct, sir. That and I will look like Blue Pants, a wrestler from WWE, who it recently occurred to me is basically wearing a Fallout uniform. But this isn't an episode about WWE, it's about E3. Fallout looks awesome. We're already spending tons of money on it, and it's not even out yet. Let's try to...
Speaking of Welcome Aboard, though, I mean, you've never played 1-2-3 Tactics.
I know, yeah.
You have no idea what you're in for.
I know only based on watching you play the last game and watching like obsessive amounts of video about it. This is a huge onboarding for me, Brian. I'm like super excited, man. So welcome aboard. Thank you, Bethesda. Wow. But plenty more went on at E3. Do you guys want to talk about something else, or we can just keep talking? I'll talk about Fallout 4 the rest of the episode.
Well, what about, some of the stuff is a little aggravating because we're just seeing teasers like Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, yeah. Well, is it just because it's early days, like super early days there, Chris, you think? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But, you know, it is, the impression I'm getting is we may be dealing with a whole new character. I don't know, but we won't know much other than it's literally in another galaxy. So whatever they're fighting over in the trailer, spoilers, is probably a gate that's going to take you to a new space.
Yeah, okay. I have heard, I believe it was leaked or mentioned or alluded to that it would not be Shepard in this new game. And I'm a little puzzled as to, well, I guess it's going to have to be new enemies and everything, because I thought they wrapped up that series fairly well with Mass Effect 3.
That's where they're taking it, to a new galaxy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that would explain everything. So yeah, it's got to be, same universe, totally different set of actors. Mass Effect. I'm excited about that.
I know. For me, it seems like this E3 was also kind of the return of the lost ones. I mean, you know, we got Last Guardians, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, Cam, Brian, you know what Last Guardian is?
That's the Ico sequel, isn't it?
Yeah, basically it's the next in the series, in the quote unquote series that includes Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. In this one, you're a little boy, girl, I can't really tell, with a giant like owl, cat, lion, griffin thing follows you around and makes cute noises. That looked pretty impressive, and
Oh yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It lived up to the screenshots I've seen. Like, I was the thing sheds feathers as it walks around and stuff. It was really cool. And yeah, that was something that seemed like vaporware for the longest time, and now we're finally being shown it.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, I'm big on doing laptop and PC gaming, but when I see something like that, I'm almost tempted to have something like that on a console because I don't want it to end up shredding my motherboard.
Well, that is good to hear, Chris. You may be on board the console. Wow, another onboarding. Chris the console gamer. Speaking of Return of the... What'd you say, Return of the Lost? Or?
Yeah, there was also news that Mirror's Edge is coming out.
That one wasn't so much Lost as everybody liked Mirror's Edge, and I think people have been expecting a sequel for a long time. And it surprised me, because I wasn't expecting to hear about it at E3, and then, boop, there you go. Cam, Brian, that is the parkour game.
Yeah, I owned it, yeah. With the Asian chick that runs around, and you have to, like, jump off the walls and stuff.
The Asian woman... Cam,
I'm sorry. Strong, I didn't mean to be
strong female character. Yes,
so chauvinistic. Yes,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I owned that for PS3 like, a few years back.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so they're doing a sequel to that.
Not too excited about that.
That was kind of not a splash, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't really like the first one. Really, I mean, it was okay, but it was like I'd rather play Assassin's Creed.
Oh yeah, and Assassin's Creed is sticking to its story, isn't it? They're definitely advancing in the timeline as each sequel comes out.
I think they introduced a strong female character, though.
Yeah, there's that.
They did. They did. As did Dishonored. They're doing Dishonored 2.
I really like Dishonored. Yeah, I mean, Dishonored was a great game.
Guys, let's not forget probably the ultimate piece of imaginationware that they announced, and people have been losing their minds over, that being the Final Fantasy VII remake. I am kind of excited about that. I still hold that Final Fantasy VI is the best one ever, but I can see why VII was like a formative experience for a lot of people. It was kind of near it was near enough the crest of the Final Fantasy series that I consider it a great game, and I would not mind seeing it updated and even tinkered with a little bit. What do you guys think? Are you pretty excited? Yes, no?
I'm a little excited that they said that it will change gameplay and change the story.
Excited because you objected to some elements of the gameplay or thought there were places they could have been improved?
I mean, I wouldn't really say objected, but yeah, I think there were a couple of things that... The live stream killed the humans. Like, the live stream killed all the humans.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like, nah, let's just make another sequel and we can make an animated movie and, like... I'm really hoping they'll stick to their guns and like make like that, you know, dark, depressing director's cut.
I hope you're right. And, you know, in the trailer, and hopefully you guys will go obsessively watch it after this, the narrator mentions that there was this event that preceded an age of silence. And I think the age of silence was the live stream, like, yeah, humanity's dead. And like just wiping out the humans. Even in Advent Children, which was a pseudo sequel or an immediate sequel to Final Fantasy VII, the world was dying, wasn't it?
No, they cured it, remember?
Oh, they did? I thought the humans were dying of like lung rot or something like that.
A lot of the humans were, but they solved that during the movie.
Oh, that sucks. I wanted humanity wiped out. Like, there was something so chilling about Red 13, like going up to the ruins of Midgard and just... You know, it's empty, and there was just like that... What was it, children laughing at the very end?
It was empty and overgrown, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, just settle it. The live stream ends humanity, man. You guys big Final Fantasy VII fans, Cam and Chris?
I mean, I think that was probably the last one I played.
Brian and I have spent way too many a late night debating just what happened in that game and the meaning of it. But basically... The planet is alive in the game, and the planet takes steps to protect itself when mankind tries to destroy the planet by gently just wiping out humanity. Pretty gently, right? With the life stream, just kind of wiping out humanity, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of like washes over you and I guess dissolves you?
I guess, yeah.
It didn't look terribly painful or anything, though.
Yeah, man. Here's hoping a planet-cleansing... remake is in the offing. I'm really looking forward to that. You know what I'm really looking forward to the most is the opening scene where it just, you know, shows the Zubin, you know, shows people walking shows, I believe, Aerith, and then zooms out, shows the city with that big triumphant, you know, music and the logo displayed across the screen. Guys, I'm nostalgizing my face off. I apologize. But anyway, that's pretty huge. I think that might have been one of the biggest announcements, is because people have been wanting that since, like, the PS2, right?
3 for sure. It was a P3 tech demo.
Right, right, and that got people all excited, so.
Now, I think this will be funny. You know, it's probably just the Steam version upscaled for HD, and we're all going to be really unhappy.
Oh, no, no. No, I hope you're wrong. I hope it's a brand new remake. Let's step away from remakes and talk about sequels for a second. There are three threes I wanted to discuss from this E3. The first one is Kingdom Hearts 3, which I'm pretty psyched about. The second one is Star Wars Battlefront 3. I don't know if they're even calling it that, but it is the third game, to my knowledge. And the third one is the record-setting kickstarted Shenmue 3. And we at least don't discuss video game Kickstarters a whole hell of a lot, but Shenmue 3 is a prequel, I guess, to a pretty popular series that debuted on the Dreamcast, continued on, I think, the PS2, and maybe will conclude on current-gen systems, so... With that trio of threes, any thoughts?
I mean, Battlefront looks ridiculous in the videos that they released, but you know, we'll see how it is when it comes out.
That definitely gets your engines revving, that's for sure.
I'm so worried. I'm so worried about that.
Yeah, go on, Brian. We had a discussion in the Nerd Extravaganza HQ group, join it today, about this, and you're a little skeptical.
I thought the coolest part was when they jumped you into the TIE fighter and the, I think it was actually an X-Wing on Hoth where their engines wouldn't function, but that's fine.
Oh. That's right. They had to weatherize the deep spaceships for that planet, didn't they?
Yes.
Well, it's got to be another planet then. It's got to be Doth or something. Or else, how do you even explain that? So it's canon breaking, but it's canon because everything's canon now, right?
No, that's fine. I mean, that's really nitpicky. I won't complain about that, but I will complain about that was totally on rails.
Oh,
you were not controlling that ship. That was just a ridicule that you were like blasting away with.
So it's like sewer shark quality, or?
Yep.
Oh no.
Watch it. I might be wrong, but that's exactly what it looks like to me.
That makes me sad to even contemplate.
I mean, I think the first-person shooter will be a great first-person shooter because, I mean, what crap first-person shooters do they even make these days? But I really think this Star Wars number one and Battlefront 1 and 2 were amazing. I think they just deserve a little bit better than, like, this is a good first-person shooter and you fly things on rails.
I desperately hope you're wrong. I want to be able to free fly around and do all that badass stuff.
Me too, a little bit.
What do you guys think? You think Brian might be onto something here?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah, I was overly impressed with how that guy flew in between the AT-AT's legs.
You thought it was pretty awesome and badass? Is that what you said?
No, I was like, that was some really good flying. That's going to take a lot of practice for people to pull off. I mean, that was a red flag for me. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, you know, that we were taken by something like that, you know? And it probably won't be the last.
No, you're probably not wrong there, Cam. But the shooting stuff looks solid, at least. And I'm sure Darth Vader is like an unlockable. It plays like Battlefield. You unlock Darth Vader. Darth Vader enters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So by spoofing kills and cheating somehow, you'll get Vader to show up early in the match and win. all the typical FPS bullshit that makes you hate playing first-person shooters. And being teabagged by, like, Admiral Akbar, you know?
Now, if they make it, like, leathery burnt balls, I would totally... I would be on board.
I think Admiral Akbar would have, like, gills on his ball. Oh, God, no, I didn't just say that. Never mind.
Speaking of something that's going to be a big Star Wars tease that may not deliver, in real life. What'd you guys think of that Star Wars MMO trailer?
Have you ever played the Star Wars MMO?
Long time ago. It was okay.
It sucks.
Tell us how you really feel, Brian.
There's probably about 7 or 8 MMOs I've played before it. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, I like it because it's Star Wars, but that only carries it so far.
Yeah, I was more excited with the whole concept of being a Star Wars fanboy, of maybe that sort of stuff, especially about the Old Republic now being canon. Because when it comes to the extended universe stuff, that's kind of where I was the most interested in, was the Old Republic stuff.
I kind of wish they would just, you know, hand wave that away. Like, it's in the distant past. No need to talk about it much. But then again, there's talk that in the new movies, Old Republic's relics or something might resurface, right? Because the villain looks like Darth Revan from Knights of the Old Republic.
I'm not sure that they'll go so far as to canonize the MMO, even the new stuff done for the MMO.
Mm.
That's just so far out there.
That's an interesting thought, though, Chris. And speaking of interesting thoughts, I did not get any bites on Shenmue 3 and Kingdom Hearts 3, so I guess we'll move on from our trio of trequels.
I thought we were moving down the list.
Well, I'm excited about Kingdom Hearts 3, but Shenmue 3, I was never really into Shenmue.
I never played Shenmue either. It just sounds, Shenmue sounds like an insult.
Shenmue, no,
look at
Shenmue.
This Shenmue. Hey, Shenmue.
Shenmue me? Shenmue you.
But everybody says it's like really, really good. So if when they release the stretch goal of like the Shenmue HD Perfect Collection, maybe I'll play all three. I think they've raised like $88 trillion for this already. So
wow.
Should do well. At least I think so. I mean, that may have been something else I was reading about, but I thought it did very well. And Kingdom Hearts 3, that's the Disney Square Enix crossover. And I like Disney and I like Square Enix. I like Final Fantasy, all that stuff. So I'm definitely happy about that. Looking forward to playing it. They announced, I think, a Tangled world, which should be really great. Should lend itself very well to the series. Yeah. And, I mean, they've got Tangled, they've got Frozen. Disney's had a lot of hits since the last Kingdom Hearts game. So this should be great.
For sure.
And that's it. That's it for the trilogies. You guys, any you want to bring something else up?
No, on the trilogies, I think I'm good.
Anything else grab your attention, guys, at E3? I've got more.
Oh, go ahead. Run down the list, huh?
They showed off a little more of No Man's Sky, which is that sort of open galaxy exploration game. That seems like it could either be insanely interesting and compelling or insanely boring, depending on how it evolves. Because you've got these like generated worlds that you may very well be the first one to discover, but if all that's on those worlds is like, you know, headless turtles, that doesn't seem like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, there is a type of gamer that does appreciate exploring the world, just walking around, but I think that's pretty niche.
Yeah, we'll see. It's the project is ambitious. Did you guys happen to see the footage at all?
Not for E3, but I've seen the previous stuff, and that was impressive.
This was as well. The guy basically, you know, walks. You know, he's in first person mode, hops in his ship pretty seamlessly, takes off, gets out in the space battle for a few minutes, and then warps away to a planet. And then, you know, lands on the planet. He's doing some exploration, some resource gathering, stuff like that. Then, just to illustrate how big the game is, he zooms out from the planet to the solar system to like the little cluster, and out and out and out and out and out. I mean, it's insane how huge this universe is, universe or galaxy, whatever it is. Yeah. I wonder if it's going to be big enough that you could find some distant corner of space and just not encounter anybody. I don't know why that has appeal for me. It's probably something I need to see a therapist about, but it should be interesting.
As long as it's not Minecraft.
No.
No, Minecraft is... So, Brian, you're not a Minecraft fan, I take it, or...
It's all right, but I don't want another one.
Okay, right. And the one you do want,
but
you want on a Luma Room.
No Man's Sky, you got to go around gathering resources and building shit, don't you?
They implied as much. They implied, well...
You have to build your ship. You have to repair your ship when you get shot down.
Yeah, so you need the, you need to do exploration. You need to do resource gathering. So there may be some similarities.
I hope it's more than punching sheep.
Well, you know, you say that, and you're thinking Minecraft, and you mentioned something like that, and I'm thinking Elite.
You're losing me there, Chris. Is that something similar that I don't know about?
Elite is like a really old school starship simulator, and basically, you could either be a pirate or you could be a merchant, and you would go from space station to space station and trade resources to get more money to improve your ship. And then, of course, you know, meet some enemies along the way and shoot the crap out of them. We're talking like this is like real old school stuff. Also, I think Star Citizen is kind of in that vein as well.
Oh, yes, Star Citizen.
Yeah, and then, you know, yeah, which is based off, you know, Wings of the sort of whole Wing Commander sort of thing. And I guess, you know, EVE players would find some of that interesting as well.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
EVE players don't find anything interesting.
Just profitable, right?
Yeah, EVE sounds like a stressful job. Like, you might as well just be like a stockbroker or something. I don't know why you're playing EVE.
The world's prettiest spreadsheet.
Yes, pretty much. Speaking of Minecraft, though, Brian, that reminds me of the AR technology from Microsoft. What's it called again?
HoloLens.
HoloLens, yeah. That was a pretty cool presentation.
I cannot state how excited I am for that. That's going to change everything. You will be able to wear, like, plain white clothing, and you will look down and you will see plate mail, or you will see, you know, Darth Vader's armor, or soon, I think.
I read a secondary article that said that the HoloLens video you're watching is not BS. I put the article said he put on the stuff and he saw it just as crystal clear as it was on the screen.
That's pretty impressive, man. I'm kind of looking forward to that kind of like fidelity and, man, just having things projected into the real world that are that convincing.
I'm going to start the conspiracy theory now that this is why the second issue of Non-Player took 3 damn years. They're building a pipe for HoloLens.
That's an interesting tie-in, Brian. So you think that there's a conspiracy afoot?
Not really. But...
Well, I know. I just wanted to imagine it with you for a second. It's kind of a cool thought. I would like to see them. I know that it hasn't been discussed. It may have just been something done for conceptual purposes. But I wouldn't mind seeing HoloLens combined with Illumiroom for like added depth. Like, so you see the 3D projections and then you've got like the ambient effects around you. That might be kind of awesome.
I want to take Ambiroom and HoloLens and combine it with the Wii U.
Wait, did you just take what I said and create a product called Ambiroom?
Or whatever it's called.
Yes. So basically you want the ability to use a disconnected, to the freedom of movement that the Wii affords you in that sort of environment.
Well, it was one of the big promised things they had for the Wii U is that you could do something, you could point the Wii U at like to your left away from the screen and you would see more virtual world on that little pad.
Correct me if I'm wrong though, but HoloLens looks like it does more than that by itself. That guy was using his eye movement to control shit.
Right. He himself was...
I mean, it knew where he was looking, and he would say, zoom in. I mean, you could, like, double-click by blinking and just start walking forward without a controller at all.
Yeah, that you may not even need the Wii U, Chris, if what Brian's saying is actually accurate.
True.
Pretty cool thought. To branch out from HoloLens, are you guys feeling better or worse about AR, VR... Or still kind of not sure at this point?
I'm feeling much more excited about it. I did not believe that this was here yet. I would have said 10 years before we could see a virtual projection in the room with us and interact with us.
That's great. It's good to hear you this optimistic, Brian. Wow.
Literally, if you get a big enough, plain enough room and you project stuff on every surface, I mean, this is a holodeck.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, yes, it is. And then if you get the Amazon Echo, and then, okay, we'll still integrate the Wii U gamepad. That'll be like your little Captain Picard tablet. Yeah, we're there. There's no leave. As I said to a friend online the other day, after 2020, I'm never leaving the house. I won't need to at that point.
selfishly, I just want something that will like project a six pack onto my stomach. Just walk around. I don't care about my surroundings. I want you know what people to see on me. You know,
that'll be a phenomenon of barrel shaped men who have an inexplicable E Honda like six pack.
Exactly.
Finally, that's really what all this is about. Because E Honda was the fat gamer's dream.
E Honda was the man.
I can have a six pack and still eat a lot of pizza, right? Sure.
Exactly.
You know, it does make me curious because they say, or they're saying nowadays, that the success of a technology now is not usually the way it's planned, but a sidetrack to how it was used. So I'm wondering, you know, if the, you know, VR is going to break out, but how's it going to break out in a way we're not expecting it to? Short of porn, of course.
Well, it's always going to be porn.
It's easy to believe a video game. It's easy to think like Minecraft or whatever. I mean, we're all sitting here at our computers. Can you just imagine like thumbing through tabs on your browser instead of like having a mouse and clicking?
Well, it'll definitely improve all our postures, right?
Well, I mean, the technology's already there, right? With, I mean, Hawking has all that stuff, doesn't he?
I'm not sure if Hawking thumbs through much.
No. I mean, with like blinking. I thought he has like some special interface where he can blink through.
Yeah, he does for sure.
So, I mean, it's there. It's just, when is it going to get to the mainstream, you know?
Well, I think soon, honestly. And, man, I didn't really think about us being that close to the holodeck, but we really are.
Yeah, that's freaking pretty sick, actually.
Tie this in with the next advances in 3D printers being a good enough facsimile of Replicator, and my 2020 never leaving the house, man. Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah, I take more of a dim view of that in terms of, you know, government, Big Brother, and you know, and the corporations. Like, you know, our living spaces are just going to get smaller and smaller as the technology gets better and better, and they're just going to have us packed in like hamsters with, you know, nice things projected on the wall so it looks like we're in like a nice, you know, nice living space, but really it's like a broom closet, you know.
Oh, Jesus, it's Ready Player One, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready Player One was a lot deeper than anyone gave it credit for.
Oh, for sure.
It was definitely, it saw the future that's being built for us right now.
Yeah. Oh, before I forget, by the way, a sideline, Industrial Light and Magic actually has opened up a 3D virtual reality, augmented reality lab.
Oh, really? That was just announced, or?
That was announced like last week or the week before. And they show, like, people, you know, like an actor in a mocap suit behind a green screen, and he's interacting with somebody on the other side of the green screen where it's projected, you know, with C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's pretty cool.
So back to our list, right?
Yeah, before we end up in the near future. I don't care about living in the real world. I don't stack me up in a 90-foot-high stack of trailers and give me a VR rig. What do I care? But, right, back to our list.
Did you guys see that, the little Unravel character?
Yes, I did. That was cute.
Little thing is cute.
What was that?
There's this little, like, game called Unravel, I believe it was, Chris, right?
Yeah, by EA, but believe it or not.
There's, like, this little, like, yarn character guy, and he's pretty cute.
It looks like a platformer, but he uses his yarn to also lasso things. So it's a little bit of a repelling, chandelier swinging side platformer.
Yeah, he almost looks like a little, like, almost kind of looks like a little devil, but he's super cute.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm putting that game on my list of ways to tempt my girlfriend to pick up a controller.
Nice. Yeah, there's plenty of cutesy stuff out there to be had. You actually just reminded me, you jarred loose another thought. While we're still not too far removed from the VR topic, what on earth is going on with Microsoft and Oculus? I believe they're going to pack an Xbox controller in with Oculus, and Microsoft has their own stuff. Like, what are they? And there's going to be like a streaming thing between the Xbox One and Windows 10. Like, I did not see a relationship like that coming together.
Well, I think that's a pretty wise play by Microsoft. I think for them, the Oculus is their Palm Pilot. It's their bridge product that they're having someone else do until the HoloLens is ready. And once the HoloLens is ready, boom, Oculus is getting dropped.
Oh, you think so? So you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And do you think that Microsoft is trying to reclaim the position of PC gaming platform by you know, embracing Oculus by allowing streaming with the Xbox. Like, because it used to be you run Windows to play games, but now, like, they didn't do anything to be the curator of games on their OS. I mean, Steam basically stole that from them, you know?
Yeah, they did, and I think that was a happy accident for them to some degree because everybody's, you know, playing on their PC with that.
Yeah, true. But I don't know. I wonder if these outreach programs are something, or are them trying to regain the PC games market somehow, or at least a central place in it, right? I mean, imagine tying that in with the achievements and everything, you know, basically making...
Exactly.
That's what I'm driving at.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a thought.
Because I think Microsoft has always been kind of ahead of the pack when it comes to the thought of trying to become the all-in-one machine entertainment center. Even before, you know, Sony kind of took the lead with that with the PS4. And if you remember, one of the old OSs was focused on being a media player. What was that one? I can't remember it. I saw it on some PCs. Instead of just being a regular Microsoft 8, it was like, or I'm sorry, Microsoft 7. It was Microsoft 7 Media Center thing.
Yeah, they did have a Media Center edition. That might have been for even Windows XP. They did something like that, even that early.
Exactly. So through even successive administrations and leadership, they've always had this in the back of their head that sooner or later, this one machine is going to be in your house doing everything with you, for you, next to you, from controlling the house to being the entertainment system. So this is just another step in that long road they're getting there and hoping that Sony doesn't beat them to the punch now.
That's a pretty interesting sort of view of their strategy, Chris, and I think you might be on something there. And speaking of views, I think I've reached the end of my my bullet list for E3. Do you guys have anything else you want to bring up?
I mean, my bullet list was HoloLens. Guys, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool.
Tom, you remember Rook talking about this stuff 2-3 years ago. And I'll be honest with you, I thought he was smoking shit. I didn't think this was possible.
Yeah, Rook being the Game Nation theme park founder. And a guest we had, yeah, going back a couple of years. Yeah, I didn't...
He was talking about developing. I thought he'd develop it in 10, 20 years, but I didn't know it was this close. I had no idea. It was couldn't have been 2 years ago.
Yeah, but he was, you know, he was like going overseas to talk to like developers and seeing prototype stuff. I mean, he was way ahead of the game on that. So, yeah, we should have him on again and beat some more answers out of him.
What do you know about the HoloLens? Talk.
Exactly. But yeah, man, it's exciting to see all that stuff to actually see the things he was talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The future is now, guys. This is a super exciting time to be alive. Just
woo-hoo!
Stay healthy, you know, eat your antioxidants, and survive long enough to be upgraded by our future computer overlords, and life's going to be great.
And use your Mr. Flush.
And use your Mr. Flush magical toilet, yes.
I might not mind having computer overlords if they upgrade me and let me play Skyrim all day long.
Yeah, sure. And then they'll use your off time for protein folding. We discussed this already. Anyway, guys, I think unless you have anything else, that pretty much sums up the cherry-picked E3 episode as far as I'm concerned.
Now, I only had two things real quick, and just... We don't even have to discuss them in detail. I was amused by the new Plants vs. Zombie game.
Yeah, yeah, that's cute.
And I was, I'm trying really hard not to press that button when it comes to the LEGO Dimensions Portal set that may be coming out soon.
The LEGO Dimensions Portal set is basically just a, like, let us take your money, because, like, everything folded into the LEGO universe. It's like, it's kind of their answer to maybe a Skylanders or Disney Infinity minus the figures you have to scan in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That is kind of cool. Yeah. Those are decent final observations, Chris. I'll open the floor up one last time. Any other bits you guys want to mention? Go over.
Going once.
Going twice. Going three times. God, I keep wanting to say Illumiroom. What's the stupid?
HoloLens.
going three times HoloLens. All right, guys. In that case, I think we can let our audience get back to gaming. And I will say that in between grabbing achievements and trophies and saving up for your awesome new VR equipment, you should give our podcast a listen by subscribing to us on iTunes or checking us out on Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google Plus, and join the Nerdstravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Head on over to nerdstravaganza.com and check out all of our back episodes. Check us out at YouTube. Just type in Nerdstravaganza in the tidy little search bar there, and all of our videos and premium content will come up for your viewing pleasure. And shoot us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And with all of our E3 cherry-picking coverage out of the way, there's only one final thing to say.
Mr. Rook, tell us about the HoloLens. We have ways of making you talk.
Now we have to have it back on. Another Game Nation episode. How does that in any way mean that the Ready Player One guy did not use copyrighted material? Because he referenced copyrighted stuff left and right.
He actually used songs, didn't he? That's a huge, yeah, area.
They're going to need ILM level skills to...
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of is... I apologize. I'm thinking of... they were talking about a movie, and people have been asking how they're going to use copyrighted material. And the Ready Player One movie, which is a whole other... ball of wax.
That's what I was just about to bring up, because that would fall apart without... I mean, they could use generic stuff, but seeing all pretty much every IP you liked on screen would make it magical. Ready Player One, man.